purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The mind is always agitated by acceptance and rejection, which are compared to mental waves that are constantly tossing. The living entity is floating in the waves of material existence because of his forgetfulness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung in his Gitavali, Miche Mayara Vashe Yache Beshe Akatsha Bahu Dubu Bai. My dear mind, under the influence of Maya, you are being carried away by the waves of rejection and acceptance. Simply take shelter of Krishna. Jiva Krishna Das Avishvas Karle Ta Araduka Nai. If we simply regard the lotus feet of Krishna as our ultimate shelter, we shall be saved from all these waves of Maya, which are variously exhibited as mental and sensual activities and the agitation of rejection and acceptance. Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharmam Parichaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshayishyami Masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Therefore, if we simply place ourselves at the lotus feet of Krishna by taking to Krishna consciousness and keeping always in touch with him by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we need not take much trouble in arranging to return to the spiritual world. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is very easy. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Janardana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Gena Tasmai Sri Udu. You can read it. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Now, these Bhakti Shastras, they were written about 4,500 years before the advent of Lord Chaitanya. So, imagine that there are so many instructions like this. This is describing, right? Narada Muni, is that right? Speaking to King Yudhisthira, is that right? And he's describing the ascent of the soul, how the soul can go back to Godhead. And then, of course, in the whole Bhagavad Gita, the 8th chapter, it's described all about how one fixes his, whatever one is thinking of at the time of death, that state he will attain without fail, and how one should fix one's mind. And there are so many instructions. Here, on right before the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna is telling Arjuna about the Sat Chakra, like how to fix the life air and elevate the life air through all the chakras till it's at the top of the head, and how one has to meditate in that way, and so many elaborate instructions before the advent of Lord Chaitanya. And I was thinking of, other Vaishnavas, like in India, who don't have Srila Prabhupada's purports, and they just have the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're sitting having a class, and they're figuring out, how do we do this? Like, first of all, what does it mean, and how do we do it? And we see how confusing it could be, because all of the Vedic literature are meant to dissipate confusion, right? One who studies the Vedas, then he sees things as they are, and then there's no confusion. But this is only the essence, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the cream of the Vedas. So imagine all the other Vedas dealing with karma kanda and so many different processes of sacrifice and processes of purification, and how much one could become bewildered by it. Like it was just explained 2 verses back, how all of these sacrifices, they're actually just meant to, they're the creation of the fulfillment of material desires and the creation of anxiety, because one has to get everything just right, follow the prescribed method, and everything's, of course, for the future, for the next life, you know, doing all of this sacrifice so that in the next life I can achieve a better status, and most probably a better material status, you know, so that I can have those things that in this life I was unable to obtain. You know, I can have that wealth and intelligence and beauty and a good spouse and good children and good food, you know, thinking that, and then also some spiritual elevation, some self-realization as well, but arduous task for that, with that goal, because as is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, whatever we're thinking of, that's where we're going to go. And it's, we see that it's not a whimsical process. Like, you may have heard of the Bhakti Fest in, America. They have what's called the Bhakti Fest, and it's a big festival of a whole weekend long. And, you know, which one thing that's nice, all of the food is vegetarian, and there's two food booths, except Nitai got killed in a car accident in January. He ran one of them. And the whole thing is just kirtan the whole weekend. So most people are singing most, you know, Shakti and the goddess and maybe Shiva and a little bit of Hare Krishna. And the whole thing is, you know, like for material upliftment, like how to improve your situation. But one of our devotees, very prominent youth, he told the story. He's the most influential person there. But I was thinking of his story and how I didn't really like it. He said, you know, because there's people from all different gurus and all different spiritual movements and yoga teachers and everything. There's all kinds of yoga seminars. And Radhanath Swami attends and spends the whole day from early morning to like 2 a.m. just giving his association. But he said, you know, once upon a time, someone was going to a village traveling, and someone said, you should stay in our village because we have the best water here. We have a well here, and the water is so sweet. It's the best water. And so you drink. Very nice, very nice. But I'm traveling now, so you go to the next village. They say the same thing. We have the best water. You should just taste this water. It's so wonderful. It would make you just want to stay here. And it's very nice water. And this happens continuously. So this devotee was saying that that's all the gurus. We all think our guru and our spiritual path is the best. But actually, all that water is flowing under the ground. It's one continuous river of water that just flows. And each village is obtaining that water, but it's actually the same water. So I was thinking that actually that's not true, because some of those wells are contaminated by Mayavadi philosophy. And like, see, this is the New Age concept, to be kind of, yeah, like it's all one and we're all on the spiritual path. But actually Prabhupada so adamantly speaks against nonsensical philosophies, and especially Mayavadi impersonal. All of our acharyas and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda, this was their mission, primarily to dissipate this Mayavad philosophy and other bogus, you know, Brahmanisms that were going on at the time. But but Srila Prabhupada, he just like gives us the concise essence of the Vedas and how to very, very quickly achieve the goal without all of these very extraneous endeavors. Now, one thing that I found interesting in this verse is that it says here that one offers his words. The mind is always agitated. Therefore, all the activities of the senses should be offered into the mind. So in other words, the mind will control the senses. So we offer all the activities, right? We're engaging in many activities with the working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, but they're all offered into the mind to subdue the mind and bring the mind under control. And then it says, which should be offered into one's words. So one's words, you see, if you think about it, all we are is our words. That's all that we're made of. Just like we seek association, don't we? So we seek association by people's words. What they speak, we ascertain, do I want this association or not? You know, like, so we, first of all, are always using our words to chant the Maha Mantra, so purifying our whole existence and pleasing Lord Krishna. But then we know, like it says, one should avoid the association of pounds, shillings, and pence men, and those who are attached to women. So how do you know that they are? Because that's what they'll always be speaking about. So we, like here it's talking, we want to keep this agitation of acceptance and rejection quelled. So that comes through our words. Like now it's Purushottam Mas, so we declared, right? Mostly everyone, I think, has taken some kind of vow of, you know, a little more austerity or a lot more austerity. And we declared that. We may not have declared it to others, but we declared it to Krishna and in our mind. So that's who we are. And in Madhurya Kadambini, it's explained that, you know, on the neophyte platform, we make so many vows, but then we can't stick to them. We're always changing. So, you know, just like we vow, okay, I'm eating. I'm not going to take any prasadam till I've chanted at least 8 rounds or something like that. And, you know, I'm not going to eat any sweets, and I'm not going to eat any fried things, and I'm not going to eat at night. You know, we say these things in our mind, but then sometimes our determination wanes, and then our words become weak. So in other words, if we're our words must be very strong. In other words, whatever I say, that is the truth for me, at least. That's the truth, because I said it. Like, so that's everything. Then, you know, sleeping, I'm going to get up every day at 2:30 in the morning, and, you know, I'm going to go to bed early. Like, we declare this, but then we lose our resolve, or else something comes up, you know, like there's a preaching program, and then it's okay, because we'll readjust. Although I said that, this takes precedence, you know, that I have to sometimes stay up late for an engagement, and then I know I have to sleep a little more so I won't be too tired during japa. So we'll adjust our word, and that applies, you know, ashram especially. It's mentioned Madhurya Kadambini. I will be lifelong brahmachari, you know, then the next day. I think maybe I should get married, maybe I shouldn't. And then just that's acceptance, rejection. But then again, that's how we access the intelligence, right? Through contemplating, then the intelligence must kick in. Okay, what is the best thing for my spiritual advancement? And then with intelligence, then the agitation of acceptance and rejection is calmed. And he says here that no longer will the mental waves that are constantly tossing. Now, again, with our words. Now, does anyone know anyone who, like you say, like yesterday we had a picnic, you know, the Brahmacharini Ashram and a few others, and we had a really nice Harinam. So just for example, sometimes you invite other ladies. We're having, you know, a Harinam picnic on Wednesday. Would you want to come? Yeah, sure, I'd love to come. Okay, what time? To 1 o'clock. Okay, I'll be there at 1. And you know, they probably won't come because usually they don't do what they say, and you don't have a lot of faith in their words because they've proved in the past that their words are weak. And then there's others, when they say they're going to do something, you know they're going to do it, right? You have your deity schedule, your class schedule, and they say, oh yeah, I will do that puja 3 weeks from now on this day, or I'll cook an offering, you know, I'll go on book distribution. And you know that they said they're going to do it, so you don't have to remind them to do it. You don't have to check. You know that they declared it, so you know they'll do it. Their word is strong. So we see that our word is strong, and that's what makes us who we are, what we speak. And so that's why we always endeavor to glorify Krishna. And just like I was thinking, like Prabhupada is speaking, that what we need to do in the Bhagavad Gita about all of this fixing one's mind at the time of death, we meditate, you know, like much of, we have engage in active service, but much of Krishna consciousness is internal meditation. And even that is words, right? We're chanting Maha Mantra, and then we're offering prayers, or we're begging for mercy. And generally we do this in the form of words within our mind, or we see the beautiful deities and we're thinking with words how beautiful they look and what colors they're wearing and the garlands, and we think who made them and who dressed them today, and so many words. So we see the more that we can purify this, that we can purify our consciousness, then all of our words become very, very strong. And then it's okay if sometimes we have to break them for another principle. That's not breaking our word. That's just restating it, you know, doing it again. So in this in these verses in Bhagavad Gita, it's very interesting that Prabhupada, like these two are telling like that, how to fix the mind, how to raise the life air and all of this. But in almost every purport, Prabhupada cites the Hare Krishna mantra. And so just see how he has saved us, like, from all of this extreme endeavor. He himself, you know, is so confident in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that he is taking it. And he's saying, you can disregard, you know, in a way, disregard these instructions, because I know that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that will make the process easy and that will deliver you. So he's saying here again and again that that's all you need to do. Chant Hare Krishna, and then the whole Maha Mantra like that, how we can do that. So even here in the in this eighth chapter, at the conclusion of all of that different instructions of fixing the mind, and just like in the sixth chapter, fixing the mind. Then finally, on text 14, it says, 8:14. Okay. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So that constant engagement internally and bodily, you know, engaging in physical service, and then mentally meditating on how I am the servant of Krishna, how that is what is going to make the ascending process easier. Because Prabhupada says at the time of death, right, it's not so easy. The body is disarranged. Often one is in pain, and or there's a very quick accident, and who knows, like how. But if by practice, he said, it's not going to happen. You're not going to remember Krishna if you're not practicing remembering him throughout your whole life. So by that practice, then it will come natural that it will occur. Oh, and here, at the end of the purport, it says, Haryanama, Haryanama, Haryanama eva kevalam, kalona steva na steva na steva, katiranyataha. So how there is no other way. Sometimes we become diverted, perhaps, and thinking that there's other ways, and then we're reminded again and again that this is the only way. And my husband read something that inspired him a lot. I didn't hear it yet, but he wants to share something about the holy name. Do you want the mic?
Sure.
Thank you.
So, Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport that to get off the mental platform, we chant Hare Krishna, and you can actually take this into your life. even sometimes when I'm going through some difficulty or we have different problems or we're on the mental platform, just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Because Krishna is the best psychiatrist, psychologist, our best friend. And he'll give knowledge from within as we're chanting his names. I do the same thing in the kitchen. If there's not a tape on, I'll chant Hare Krishna. And while I'm cooking, Krishna will, from my heart, I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And while I'm chanting, Krishna will give me a realization of how to do this nicely and how to do it quickly, you know, especially if I'm on a, you know, marathon and I got to get everything done quickly. So I chant. And so there's a wonderful offering by His Holiness Sachinandan Swami in the Vyas Puja book. And he just explains all about the holy name. And he mentions this, I'll just read from it. And it really, it was powerful when I heard it. And I thought it would be a very good something to add to this class, because Prabhupada's emphasizing just chant Hare Krishna throughout the purport. He's saying, you know, chant Hare Krishna and then everything will happen. So, once towards the end of his stay in this world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained his mission in a nutshell. He told Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy what he considered to be the main means of attaining Krishna Prema. Quote, by performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. By the way, this is from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila. Jai Shri Shri Radhagokulananda Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai. Antyalila, chapter 20, text 13 through 14. So, purify the unclean heart and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. So this is, in a nutshell, how we can attain Krishna Prema and also Lord Chaitanya's mission.
So, what is our qualification for taking the holy name? You know, and understanding these scriptures. Just think, when Srila Prabhupada came, there was only the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. And then around 1972 or so, then the second canto started coming out in chapters, one chapter at a time in a little booklet. And Prabhupada said also, you know, I may not stay in this world very long, so at least you have the first canto, and everything you need to know is in the first canto. But now, look at all of the books we have. You know, not only, I mean, all of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna book, Sri Isha Upanishad, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. Then every few months, another book is coming out by devotees, right? Commentaries on the scripture and kind of distilled, you know, different books about different topics and different social issues and applying the philosophy in our life, and so many books. But we see that still there's the essence. This chanting of Hare Krishna remains the very foundation. And although we have so much more knowledge, we're meant to be more and more engaged in chanting Hare Krishna. So, like here, like Lord Chaitanya, I was thinking, it's kind of like such mercy. Like here in England, it's kind of not very common in the world where you have medical, I guess it's paid out of your taxes, right? Kind of medical insurance. But it's not like that in most places of the world. But like in America, there's people that donate to hospitals, you know, just for philanthropic work. So if you have to receive hospital care and you don't have money, like most devotees don't have too much money, then you can apply for a charity fund. They have a charity fund, and you apply based upon your income. And sometimes they will cover your hospital bill. So Lord Chaitanya is like this. Although we may not be qualified, we're definitely not qualified, but he's like the charity fund. He's just giving it to everyone, because even a dog, he even gave Krishna consciousness to a dog. And you know that story, right? How one time Nimai was out playing with his friends and he found a puppy dog. And he just really liked that puppy dog. And he ran and got some rope and he made a leash so he could play with the puppy and bring it home. And his friends said, "Nimai, what are you doing? We're all Brahmin boys from Brahmin families, and Brahmins don't touch dogs. His dogs are moochy, so don't touch that dog." And he said, "I don't care. This is my puppy dog, and I'm bringing it home." So he went home, and he actually brought, Mother Sachi was out bathing in the Ganga. He brought the puppy dog in the house. And when she came home, she was like, "What are you doing? Get that dirty dog out of here immediately." And he's like, "This is the best of puppies, and he's my puppy, and I'm keeping him." And we know he was not the most obedient child, but she said, "You have to take him out." So he said, "Okay." So he brought him outside and tied him up to the fence. So at least he would be outside, but he'd still be his dog. Excuse me. So then, then Mother Sachi, she said, "All right, Nimai, go take your bath now in the Ganga." And she, you know, gave him his oil and offering. So he goes down to the Ganga, and meanwhile, the dog escaped. So Nimai, she knew he's going to be so upset. So she personally went down and told him, "Your puppy dog ran away." And he said, "No, no." And he said, "We have to find him." And they all, he and his friends and his mother, they started searching, and they saw that the mother of that puppy dog, she had come with her other litter of puppies, and she rescued her puppy, and the puppy was following her, and they were all just walking down the road. And then they came, Nimai was looking, and then he sees a crowd of people, as we know in India, anything unusual draws a big crowd. And whereas like here, like in London, right, you just walk past anything happening on the street. So they saw a big crowd, and what it was, this dog, this puppy, because he had been Nimai's puppy, he was chanting Hare Krishna, jumping up and down, chanting Hare Krishna, and everyone's amazed watching. And then Nimai ran there, and as he got there, an airplane from Vaikunthe came down and took that dog, and the dog assumed its spiritual body, Vaikuntha body, and went on the airplane back to Godhead. So if even a dog can take part in chanting Hare Krishna, then certainly we can too. We can take advantage of this extraordinary mercy and in that way overcome all of these obstacles and realize that the ascent into our next life, like as saying that most processes, they're all for the future, but we see our process, it's for the present too. It's not that we perform severe austerities now so that we can go back to Godhead, but we can actually be back to Godhead in this very life by our absorption in Krishna consciousness, we can actually experience the spiritual realm. And then, of course, always working for the future, but the means and the ends are the same. What we're doing here, we'll be doing with totally purified consciousness in the spiritual world or in the next life, however long it may take us, like that. So we have such reassurance and just holding on to Srila Prabhupada, how he just gives his purports and tells us how we could do this, how we don't have to worry, how he even says, don't even think of other forms, just think of that beautiful form of Krishna, the bluish complexion with a peacock feather in his hair and his beautiful forest flower garlands. You just meditate on that form, not even, you know, any Vishnu forms, or don't be diverted. So he's giving us the means whereby we can achieve perfection like that. So are there any comments or questions on these topics?